It was really a blessing to have Pastor Nathan come, and I learned a lot about Pastor Nathan's dad by just observing Pastor Nathan. And what a blessing Matt has been to my heart. And we actually took him on for support in Hong Kong. And so we are hoping, I'm sure we're going to see when he gets in the States. I have a feeling he'll get his way over here from time to time when he's able to come to the States. And so at this time, I did ask if he would give a charge to the candidate. And we had the charge of the church today. And so, Brother Matt, you come at this time.
Thank you, Pastor. It's been great to be with you all day here. We've enjoyed being here with Nathan and Karis for a few days now. We met them in Kansas City and the Matthews in Kansas City on Thursday morning, which was wonderful. We actually got to stay with Liz and Darren and their family in Kansas City. And then on Thursday morning, we met at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue for lunch. I'm getting hungry again already, okay. And then we went and watched a minor league baseball team called the Kansas City Royals. Now, you got to understand, I have been a loyal Royals fan, my family will tell you, since I was in seventh grade. And shortly after we moved to Kansas City, the Royals won the World Series in 1985, and I was hooked. And it was a cruel joke because it was 30 years later that we finally won it again, okay? And it wasn't like we were, like, close ever. We were just bad for 30 years. I'm hoping it's not another 30, okay? But we will see. But we went to the Royals game, and then we drove out here. So we've enjoyed a couple days with Nathan and Karis and the Matthews. But I have just really enjoyed this day. It's a joy to see your children serving the Lord. And it's a joy to see them using things that you tried to implement into them while they were growing up, even hearing them play their instruments. They were rehearsing last night in the kitchen of Nathan and Karis's home. And just what a blessing and what a joy. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Byford, and thank this church for your love and care for Nathan and Karis. They speak very highly of you and your wife. They speak very highly of this church. They love you all. And it was fun helping him work through where he was going to go when he was trying to decide where was the Lord leading us. And I told him over and over again, I said, Nathan, I'm happy to give you advice, but this needs to be your decision. Because if you go somewhere because Dad recommended it, then when times get tough, guess what? I'm going to be the one he blames. My dad told me to come here. What was his problem? You know. But if you go because you know the Lord led you there, then you have a lot more assurance that you're in the right place, right? And I just thoroughly enjoyed getting to know many of you, seeing the area again, and being here at the church. Last weekend, I had the privilege of seeing my son-in-law ordained. And that's kind of how all this started. My son-in-law approached me. He's married to our oldest daughter, Sarah. And he said, hey, I'm thinking about getting ordained. Would you be able to come? And I said, we'd love to. And so then I called Nathan. I said, Nathan, have you ever thought about getting ordained? And he said, actually, Pastor and I have been talking about that. And I said, well, if we could do a two-for-one, if I'm flying from Hong Kong, it'd be nice. And so last weekend, my son-in-law, Zach, and his wife, Sarah, we were at their church in Kentucky. And then this weekend here in Kansas. So my heart is full. It's full for a lot of reasons, full because of seeing all kinds of family, full and seeing these ordination services, full and getting to spend time with my grandson, and then excited. There's two more, not grandsons, but two more on the way. Karis, you know, is due, and my oldest daughter, Sarah, is due with her first. And they're like 1 week apart. Is that right? So pretty exciting. Just let me give you a little update on how things are going in Hong Kong, and let me thank you for taking us on for support. I mentioned to Pastor Byford that right around the time you all took us on for support, we had a church that had to basically dissolve. And so our support went away from that church, and right around the time you all decided to take us on. So thank you so much for your kindness and financially supporting us, but also in praying for us. And hopefully Nathan keeps you posted what's going on. Nathan and I, and actually my son-in-law Zach, are all in very similar roles in our churches. And our churches are actually similar sizes. And so Nathan is the assistant pastor here. My son-in-law Zach is an assistant pastor in Kentucky. And I'm an assistant pastor in Hong Kong. And so we're doing similar things. And it's kind of fun to be able to talk about different things. He'll talk about what they did for music at Christmas. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. Or I'll say, hey, we've tried this with our youth. And, oh, okay, we had to do something like that. And so it's just been fun to have those conversations. Our church in Hong Kong runs between 80 to 95, somewhere in there, each Sunday. Now that the COVID restrictions have lessened, we have a lot of people traveling. Travel is very easy over there. We drove 8 hours a couple times on this trip since we've been here. Driving 8 hours over there is impossible. You run into borders and things like that. You can't go anywhere. But flying is very easy. And so we have a lot of people travel, but our church needs more space. That's my biggest prayer request, is that we need more space. That's a good problem, right? But we're very thankful for the ministry there. Since January, my opportunity to travel to a lot of different places around Hong Kong has opened up. In January, I was in Laos, where I got to go into a communist country and teach Old Testament survey for a week. The guy asked me to come, and I said yes. And then he said, now you know what you're doing is illegal. It's like, nope, I didn't, but all right, here we go. All right, so it was a great time, wonderful opportunity with about 40 to 50 men who are training for ministry there in Laos. And then we were in Singapore in March. We're going to Malaysia in June, where I'll be speaking for a family camp for a church from Singapore. So we'll fly to Singapore, take a bus into Malaysia, and have a family camp there. And then just recently, just this last week, I got asked to go and teach a class in the Ukraine. I know. I asked him, I said, is it safe? He said, at this point, yes. He said, I'll keep you posted. So I'll be teaching a class on music philosophy in the Ukraine in August, and hopefully doing a camp as well. Then this summer, the last week of July, first week of August, I'll be running our second basketball camp there in Hong Kong. And we kind of bill it as skills for basketball and skills for life. And so I tell them right up front that we're going to teach them basketball. We're also going to teach them what the Bible says about how they can live a life that is filled with hope. We started a company there in Hong Kong called Hope in Action, so that we can run these camps and eventually, Lord willing, be able to do things like this in mainland China. We'll also be running a regular youth camp this summer, 3 days of primary camp and 3 days of teen camp. We have to rent a camp. All that process has been an amazing learning experience for me, but we're really excited for that. I lead our choir there. I head up our youth group. I do a lot of the periodic teaching and preaching there. And just as you all are trying to reach out into Manhattan and reach people with the gospel, that's what we're trying to do there in Hong Kong. It's nothing special. Like, there's no like extra little spiritual pixie dust I have because the title missionary is next to me. I just try to go out. The other day, Tiffany was coming into our apartment. A lady got in the elevator with her and asked her, she said, hey, do you know about any hiking around here? Tiffany and I love to hike, Tiffany especially. She pulls me along. She said, yeah, I like to hike. And she said, well, could I go hiking with you sometime? And the girl lives one floor right above us. She is from the U.S., but she has Indian background. And Tiffany has had a lot of opportunity just to talk with her. Her mom died recently. Then I was playing basketball with some guys. Jonathan and I were playing. And about 2 days later, the guy said, he sent me a message. And he said, hey, I just saw you. I said, okay, where are you? I'd only met him once. He said, oh, I just saw you. And he named the mall. It's the mall right next to our apartment. And I said, what are you doing out here? He goes, well, I just moved out there. I said, cool. Where'd you move? He named the apartment complex. I said, well, that's where I live. What block? He named the block. It's the same block I'm in. And I thought, that's not an accident. All right? So he's just a few floors above us. He's been to church. I invited him to church. He said, "I've never been to church before, Matt." I said, "Well, come on." He's grown up all his life there in Hong Kong. Came over to our house a couple weeks ago. And over dinner, I started in Genesis and went all the way to Revelation. In about 25, 30 minutes, I'm sure Nathan and Tiffany were like, "How is he going to do this?" But just kind of shared the whole thing. We just messaged the last couple days. He's just finishing up Genesis. He told me, he said he's looking forward to me getting back so we can talk again. So we're just trying to do those types of things and reach people with the gospel. Western people there in Hong Kong are most of the time very snobby and very rude to local people. They act like they're better. And so one of the best ways you can witness to people is just being kind and having a smile on your face. And so I joke with Tiffany and Jonathan that we're trying to work our way into their hearts one kind deed at a time. We aren't always kind, all right? You're like, "Wow, you must just be angels." No, no. There are things that are very frustrating, but we're very thankful to be able to be there and serve. We fly back on Thursday, and we'll get in at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, which is actually 5 p.m. Friday night for you. And then we will have services the next day, which will be Mother's Day there in Hong Kong. So, love to talk to you more about that. That's not the main reason I'm here, but I did wanted to give you just a quick update on that. Nathan, you were born into a family of preachers. You know that. Your grandfather, Papa, pastored for many years and still preaches and serves the Lord. You have uncles that are preachers. Your dad was not a pastor at the time, but was working at a Christian camp, preaching many times a week to teenagers. You have now a brother-in-law that is an assistant pastor. But as Papa mentioned this morning, we never wanted you to be a pastor or pursue ministry because your dad did it, or because it was just like the family thing to do, right? And I loved, as you were growing up, watching your desire for ministry and your desire to share the word grow. You were not the most outspoken child in the family. We'll reserve that for Jonathan, who is sitting in the row in front of you. But you were never afraid to say something when it needed to be said. I always appreciated that about you. I remember when you were very young, I came home one day, and I don't remember how old you were, but you and I used to love to watch football together. We watched sports together all our life, and I came home, and Julie was distraught. And she said, "You aren't watching football with Nathan anymore." I'm like, "Yeah, we are, but what's the problem?" I hope I didn't say, "Yeah, we are," but that was my thought, right? I was like, "What's the problem?" She goes, I'm sorry, you're not watching. "Okay, hon, okay. What's going on?" He just came to me and said that he wanted to be a football player when he grows up. And he is not going to be a football player when he grows up. And I was like, so I was smiling. I said, "Hun, do you realize that for most boys, when they're young, they have something like that, that they are really excited about being?" I said, "I think he'll grow out of that, but I will be careful to not glamorize football too much, all right?" So the next time, "Wow, look at how awful those guys are, you know. They're just destroying their brains, you know." But I remember very early on seeing Nathan's interest in the Word of God. He was involved in some of the preaching festivals where you could go and prepare a message and men in ministry would listen to you speak and then give you things that you could work on. Matter of fact, we teased him for a while because he had one sermon illustration where he would do like this with his hand. And so for the longest time, they would all tease him about this. And we laughed, but I was thankful he was willing to put himself in that position to learn and grow from that. He was always conscientious, always thoughtful, always noticing things and wanted to do the right thing. As a dad with five kids, I wanted to make sure that I was in touch with my kids. And so periodically, I would take one of them and go do something with just one of them. And while I did that, I would ask them a couple questions. I would ask them, "How is Daddy doing as a dad?" And then I would ask them, "Is there anything you have a question about?" So they could ask me anything. I always wanted them to ask questions to me, right, about anything. Nathan, number one, always had a question. And second of all, Nathan always had something that I could work on. The other kids were always like, oh no, Daddy, you're doing great. We love you. I've learned later that the other ones had some things they wanted to say. All right, but they just didn't say it. But Nathan, I remember very specifically where I was. We were at the wilds. We were on a hike. And I had sat Nathan down on a bench. And he said, yes, Daddy, I think there is something you could do better. You need to not get frustrated as much. And right at that moment, I wanted to kill him. But I was like, you are exactly right. And I can't believe it. And so I went home and told Julie. And she was like, yep, he's right. You know. So I've always been thankful for his willingness to do the right thing and to say the right thing. He's lost friends. I guess they weren't really friends. Having to say the right thing and do the right thing. He's been made fun of for saying the right thing, doing the right thing. I'm also thankful that as he has been willing to say and do the right thing, he's sought to be gracious in doing it and have a right spirit. You know, as I've watched Nathan these last several years, has become a husband, become a dad, now be ordained to ministry. As a father, you battle how your thoughts are supposed to be, right? Should I be proud? Well, I guess in an essence, in a way, yes. But not because, oh, well, look what I've done as a father, or, oh, that's my boy, you know. But I am thankful that my son has a desire to serve the Lord. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, my attitude really is an attitude of gratitude and then an attitude of being thankful for God's grace in his life. Because as parents, we know how much we fail, right? And I'm thankful that God was able to use a sinful soul like me to have an impact on Nathan. And Nathan, I know you know this, but your birth mom, your mommy, had a huge influence on you and a huge impact on you. And Tiffany, I'm thankful for your investment in his life. After Julie died, I was married about 13 months after she died, and Tiffany came into his life as well. And I'm thankful for that influence. While Julie was battling cancer, Nathan referenced this a little bit yesterday, but one of the hardest things going through that was seeing my son, who was around 12 or 13 at the time, really, really struggle with his belief in God. While he was watching his mom die of cancer, he had a lot of questions, as any kid would, right? And should. And one of the hardest things was trying to know how to best help him with those questions. Nathan always had questions. And some of them were great questions that I was like, whoa. Some of them I was like, we'll save that for later, buddy. Okay? And if you want to know some of those, I'll tell you later. All right. But I'm thankful that, Nathan, you were just willing to trust me. I'm thankful that you were willing to look back to God and be willing to trust him. One of my greatest fears as your mom was going through cancer was that my kids would either get bitter at God or reject God. And I'm thankful that none of you did. But especially tonight, I'm thankful that you were willing to trust the Lord through all of that time. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to reference a lot of passages from the pastoral epistles. I would just encourage you, as you have opportunity, to read through these pastoral epistles again. It'll do a couple things. It'll help you understand why your pastor does what he does. It'll help you understand the kinds of battles that they're going to face and why God inspired these books. But what it'll also do, it'll challenge you personally. Because what I'm going to say tonight, while directed to Nathan and encouraging him and challenging him, really the things that I'm going to be mentioning tonight are things that ought to be characteristics of every one of us if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. These are not like unique things. Matter of fact, almost everything you read about in these pastoral epistles, you'll see mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament or in the Old Testament. Challenges for all of us as believers. I told Tiffany today that, you know, when you go to a wedding, if you're already married, one of the benefits of going to somebody else's wedding is being reminded of what you committed to Right? That happens to me. I'm like, man, this is so good to be here again. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Help me to grow in these things. When you come to an ordination like we've been at, and even this morning, I appreciated my brother and my dad and their challenges. What it does, it reminds me as a pastor, as a minister, what God is requiring of me. And it reminds all of us of what needs to be true in our lives. In these pastoral epistles, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Paul writes, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. He says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Look at Titus chapter 1. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith. And I find it a great privilege that Nathan is not just my spiritual son, as Paul was writing to Timothy and Titus, but he's also my biological son. He's my physical son. We have a unique relationship, and it's a privilege. Paul was challenging his sons in the faith. I get to challenge my son. And Nathan, none of this is new, right? All of this you've heard before. And that's why, again, I invite all of us to listen in and be encouraged and challenged from these thoughts. I want to kind of summarize three things that I see here in these pastoral epistles. And two of them are a grander subject. It's a larger subject. The third one, although it's not mentioned as much, it is a very important topic. And you'll see that in just a moment. First of all, Nathan, I want to encourage you and encourage us as a church to love the Word of God. Love the Word of God. I think 2 Timothy chapter 3 especially really highlights the importance of loving the Word of God. He goes through a list in verses 1 through 9, talking about all the difficult things that are going to come. And I'm guessing probably every preacher who has ever lived thought they were living in the last times. But you read through this list, and we won't take the time to do it tonight, but it sounds like where we are. Not just in America, but in the world. Okay? And what Paul does is he gets down through this. He then in verse 10 says, but Timothy, you know what I've been like. You know what I've been through. You're going to go through it. Matter of fact, Timothy, it's going to be worse. And Nathan, I would probably say the things that you're going to face in this world and this culture are worse than what I've had to face. What I was having to face was most likely worse than what my dad was having to face. It's just a different set of difficulties. Different designer brands of the same sins, really. But a difficult task. And Paul says, Timothy, it's going to get worse. And what he does then is to remind Timothy, interestingly, by reminding him about his family upbringing, he then says, Timothy, if you're going to make it, you need the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to make it. Continue in what you've learned as a child. And then verse 16, why is it so important to know the Word of God? Because that's what's inspired by God. It's profitable for all these things, as we heard this morning, as we quoted this verse, so that you can be fully equipped. And we, yes, this is for all of us. The Word of God equips us all. But as a pastor especially, you cannot be fully equipped if you don't love the Word of God. I want to encourage you tonight to study the Word. Study it. These passages in the pastoral epistles speak of sound doctrine. It speaks of rightly dividing the word of truth. It speaks of holding on to the faith. It speaks of being nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. Paul challenges them to take heed to the teaching. And in order for you to do any of those, you must study the word. It's my fault that you have a fascination with sports. Right, I'm sorry, Karis. I'm really sorry. All right, I love sports, but you know what? It's easy to study things that are easy like that and neglect the study of the most important thing. Study the Word of God. Your church depends on it. Your own personal nourishment and encouragement depends on it. So study the Word of God. Second of all, obey the Word of God. Right? Obey it. We all know many, many pastors who have been great in studying it, but they have not apparently been very good in obeying it because their ministries have suffered. That's why Paul tells them to hold fast to sound words. Don't just study it. Hold on to it. Make it your own. In the qualifications for a pastor, we see the importance of obeying the Word of God. He tells Timothy in chapter 4, verse 8 of 1 Timothy, godliness is what is profitable for all things. He tells him in chapter 4, verse 16 of 1 Timothy, take heed unto yourself. He tells him to work hard to be approved. That word study is not the idea of like studying, looking in. It's the idea of being diligent, working hard to be somebody who is approved unto God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy to flee certain things and follow after other things. So obey the Word of God. And as we heard this morning from Uncle Mark, be an example. Obey the Word of God. Have I said anything yet this morning that a general Christian can just go, oh, that's not for me? Did I say this morning? I mean, I'm still in Hong Kong time. That's what I can do. All right. It's 7 in the morning Hong Kong time. All right. This evening, I haven't said anything that those of us who are not pastors can just go, oh, well, that's for me. Love the Word. Yep. Study the Word. Yep. Obey the Word. Yep. That's for all of us. This one is unique. Preach the Word, Nathan. Preach the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, you know it. Preach the Word, be instant, in season, be always ready, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul talks about speaking the Word with boldness and not being ashamed. In 2 Timothy 1, he also mentions that there are going to be afflictions and suffering that comes from proclaiming the Word of God. In Titus 2, he tells him to speak and rebuke and exhort with all authority. Preach the Word of God. I'm thankful that's your desire. I'm thankful that you've had that modeled with many pastors in your life. Don't ever get away from studying the Word, obeying the Word personally, and then preaching the Word of God to this church. This church has had a pastor who has faithfully preached the Word for years. And that needs to continue. And I know that's your desire. So, number one, love the Word of God. Number two. And again, these two really do make up the most of the content in these pastoral epistles. Second of all, not only love the Word, love the church. Love the church. This morning, as I was sitting here, I was thinking about people in our church in Hong Kong. I was thinking about Wilmar and Adeline from the Philippines and Justin from India and Evgeny from Russia and Nina from Nigeria and Sarah and Magdalene from Malaysia and Vian and Carly from China and Hisung and Jaina and Caleb and Catherine from Korea. I could go on and on and on. And I thought, you know, I'm not in Hong Kong because it's a cool place. I'm in Hong Kong because I love those people in the church. And Nathan, God will use you as you continue to love the people of this church. Yes, love the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ you meet all over the world, but especially love the ministry right here at Faith Baptist Church. Let me give you a few things about this idea of loving the church. First of all, care for the church. This is an idea that we see all throughout these epistles where Paul talks about being loving, being patient, exercising a spirit of long suffering towards others, being gentle, demonstrating humility, and demonstrating meekness. Nathan, there's been a lot of wonderful things said about you this weekend, and I agree with them all. I'm thankful for the things that have been said. But Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 said he was thankful to God who had sent Jesus to save sinners. And then he said this, of whom I am chief. You know, there is a personal understanding of your own depth of depravity that needs to stay with you, to keep you grateful, to keep you humble, to help you realize that it's God's mercy and not your expertise, not your study, not your character that gets you through. And I know you desire that, and I'm thankful for that. Paul challenges Timothy to have charity out of a pure heart. Paul challenges or tells the people at the church of Corinth that he is willing to spend and be spent for them. Though the more abundantly he loves them, the less he is loved. And the way you know, church, that you have the right pastor is that he cares for you even when it's inconvenient, even when it's difficult, even when he might have to say something that's hard for you to hear. As a parent, there were many times where my child wanted to do something that they thought would be fun, and I had to stop them and say no. I mean, there are just really obvious examples. Don't put your finger in the light socket. Right? It's so fun. Not good. Don't run out onto the road. But that's a great place to play. No. At this moment, it might be, but not usually. We all understand this as a parent. But yet, when somebody has to come say a hard thing to us at other times, you know what we usually do? We get offended. We get mad. You know what we say? Mind your own business. Things like that. Faith Baptist Church, it is the business of your pastors to warn you, to help guard your heart, to help guard you from wrong directions. And Nathan, I know you desire this, but when you do that, let it be full of a heart of compassion for those people. It sounds easy right now, but I'm guessing we could have Pastor Byford come up here. I know I could have my dad come up here. I know I could give example, I'm guessing my brothers could as well, of very, very difficult times to love people. But ask the Lord for His help. Remember how much He has forgiven you and be willing to forgive others even when they mistreat you. Love the church. Show care for them. But second of all, not only showing care for the church, be willing to fight for the church. Your love for the church is not just shown by your kindness and humility and compassion. It's shown by a fighting spirit that guards the sheep from invaders, that guards the sheep from wolves and sheep's clothing. And you see this all throughout the pastoral epistles. It's a very clear emphasis that one of your responsibilities is to fight the good fight of faith. Paul challenged his dear sons to do this, and then he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. This type of imagery, even in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he tells them to be strong and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this area would understand that. Being a soldier is not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's difficult. It's often putting your life on the line. And spiritually, Nathan, you are called to be willing to be strong in the Lord and endure hardness as a soldier. Words like watching, being vigilant. Words like laboring, toiling. And all of this specifically to protect from false teaching. Make it your burden to fight for this church. Kindly, graciously, but fervently. It's interesting that Paul knew how difficult this was going to be because in his second letter to Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 7, he tells Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. You know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be willing to fight for the church. And then I'll just mention this. Be focused on the church. Let this be what drives you. Let this be your motivation for service for the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul challenges Timothy, don't get distracted by the things of this world. Don't get entangled. And that's, I believe, also interesting because at the end of 1 Timothy, he tells Timothy, Timothy, be content. Don't look around at all the other stuff that's out there and think, you know what, if I was making more money, I could have that. Or if I wasn't pastoring, I could be doing... No, just be content with what God has given you. Be content with what He has called you to and don't let other distractions to move you away or ensnare you, tangle you away from your desire to serve this church. Number one, love the Word. Number two, love the church. And then you've heard this already, all right? Nathan was at Zach's ordination last week, and I challenged Zach with this. But I again remind us that loving the Word of God is for all of us. Loving the church is for all of us. And this last one's for all of us too. But Nathan, the Apostle Paul is very, very clear in the qualifications for a pastor that you are to love your family. Love your family. I think every parent worries about who their kids are going to marry, right? It's like, oh, man, you know. And the jokes about the dads with shotguns, you know. Yeah, I saw a hand over there. All right, good. You know, you're like, man, buddy, you know. And Karis, I just want to let you know how thankful we are for you. Karis and my daughter Sarah were good friends. And we would watch Karis come to our house to be around Sarah. And I told Tiffany, long before we knew, I said, I'm watching the way Nathan interacts with Karis. It's been kind of interesting. And Tiffany was like, really? I said, yeah. So when Nathan expressed to me that he was interested in Karis, of course, you're like, oh, I called it, you know. And, but Karis, we were thrilled. We were thrilled. I remember Tiffany saying to me many times before you guys were even a thing, she was like, I'm going to be pretty mama bear about who Nathan goes after, because she better be a pretty quality girl, because I really love that Nathan. And she was thrilled. We were both thrilled. And just thankful for you and your love for Nathan. And Nathan, you can't be a good pastor without her. You can't be the pastor you should be without her. It was one of the things that was one of the hardest things for me when I lost Jesus. I was like, I have said for years that how important she is to my ministry, and now she's gone. I'm so thankful for Tiffany being willing to step in. And I couldn't be the pastor I'm supposed to be without a godly, supportive wife. Because the wife ends up dealing with a lot of junk. A lot of things that are difficult for her. It's easy for her to take up the offense when somebody doesn't treat you quite right. Or it's easy for her to look around and say, man, we don't have as nice things as somebody else. And you know what? I'm thankful for Karis and for her willingness to follow you into ministry, knowing that it won't always be easy. But Nathan, we read here just a little bit ago, and I think it's great and appropriate that your father-in-law read it, right? Just making sure you knew that. But in the qualifications for a pastor, in verse 4, he takes two verses to talk about this qualification. He lists a bunch of them, but here he stops and takes two verses. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, or you could say a seriousness about it. He takes it seriously. And then he gives this qualification. Because if you can't manage your own home, what in the world are you doing trying to manage the house of God? And I just want to remind you that your priority in leadership starts with your own home. That's where it starts. With your wife, with that amazing Ethan. And if he was here, he'd probably go, or yell or something. I'm sure I'm biased, all right? But just the cutest kid ever. But that is your priority. And for that new little young lady on the way, that is your priority. In 2 Timothy 1 and in chapter 3, I already mentioned this, Paul reminds Timothy about the benefit of a good upbringing. You must not be like Talkative from Pilgrim's Progress, who is described by John Bunyan as a saint abroad and a devil at home. When I was at the Wilds, I had a girl who was a senior in high school come into my office. I had just finished preaching on anger. And she sat down, she closed the door, and she started crying. She said, my dad is a youth pastor, and he's the most angry person I know. She said, when we go to church, we yell and scream. Before church, we yell and scream on the way to church. When we get to church, he puts the car in park, and he's like, all right, that's it, we're at church. And he goes in, and the church loves him. And she's like, nobody knows, but I hate him for it. Senior in high school. And she was there because she wanted to be willing to forgive her dad. She wanted to have a right attitude about it. And you know, I wish that was an isolated story. But I have heard many, many stories of pastors' kids rejecting the gospel, rejecting their home because of hypocritical parents. They saw one thing at the church, they saw something different at home, and it was just like a game, right? We go to church and we act this way, but when we're home, we can be like this. And Nathan, you know this, all right? I love you so much. And I want you to have that priority in your home. And I believe you will, all right? I know you desire this. So cherish your family. Manage it well by leading them in love. Make it your most treasured part of every day. Prioritize them. This means quantity of time. This means quality time. This means it's intentional. I believe that's the idea with all gravity. It's a serious thing for you. And again, as you're here listening today, if you have children, especially those that are still in your home, this is your priority. It only highlights it because Paul's like, if you're a pastor, especially this must be true of you. But in Ephesians, we're told, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is our role as parents. Guide them, Nathan. Lead them. In Titus 1, he is instructed that his children should be believing children. They are to be submissive. It's a military term, which has the idea of being under control and surrendered to your leadership. Bring them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from that. Let that be your passion and your priority in ministry, is to lead your own family. I've just written down a few of the things here that are listed in the pastoral epistles. Listen to these. Fight the good fight. Stir up the gift that is in you. Guard that gift that has been entrusted to you. Preach the word. Fight a good fight. Train yourself for godliness. Preach the word and rebuke and reprove and exhort. Be an example. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to your teaching. Stay pure. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Seek to be approved before God in handling the truth. Flee youthful passions. Avoid foolish discussions and arguments. And continue in what you've learned. Nathan, you are loved. We're thankful for you, and we are so excited to see how God continues to use you. And I will say, I am proud of you as my son. I love you dearly. Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness in each of our lives. Lord, we all need these reminders. Lord, I pray that you would help us to serve you humbly. Help us to serve you out of a pure heart. And Lord, maybe there is someone here tonight that recognizes they have not been obeying the word. Or would you convict them? Maybe there's a mom or dad here tonight that realizes that their home has not been their priority. They have not been the example they should be. Lord, allow this church to be full of families that want to honor you. And then, Lord, may Nathan and Karis, may you watch over them and protect them as they seek to serve and to minister for your glory alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Certainly, if we were to give an invitation tonight, I would hope that you would respond to that. We are going to have a time of prayer over Pastor Nathan. We preached a message last Sunday night and explained a little bit about the laying on of hands, and I appreciated Brother Mark and his emphasis on that. And of course, as he mentioned this morning, there's no magic in us laying hands on him, but there is a recognition that we do want God's blessing on him, and that he will, by being put in the ministry, that he's qualified, and we're recognizing that. And so, what I'd like you to do, Pastor Nathan, is to come up here, if you would. And I'm going to ask you to just come on up here. We'll just have you right here, and I wanted to have the others that are going to have come up so that when they pray, that they could be heard. And so I'm going to ask Brother Matt to come back up, if you could, and Brother Carl, if you come up, and Brother Mark, and Brother Mike, if you'll come up. And then also we are going to have Brother Matthews, if you'll come up, and Brother Zastro, our deacon, to come up. And we are going to lay our hands on him, and we're going to ask God's blessing. And I'm going to, you want to just kneel down here, Brother Nathan?
Right
here. Put him
over there.
Like he's going underwater. But I want us to be able to pray for him. And I'm just going to ask Brother Matt, if you'll pray, Brother Carl. And then if any of the others would like to pray, then I will close this. And so let's pray together and let's ask God's blessing. If you can put your hands, a blessing on him. And Brother Carl, Brother Matt, would you start?
Lord, we thank you for your kindness on Nathan's behalf. We thank you for your working in his life. Thank you for saving him at a young age. Thank you for his desire to serve you. May you give him strength. May you help him as he leads his family. Thank you for Karis, for little Ethan, for this little girl that is on the way. Lord, use them here in this ministry for your glory. Guard his heart, keep him humble before you, and may we be able to rejoice as we see him serving you faithfully for many years here at this church.
And Father, we're so thankful that you put Nathan in a Christian home, that he heard the scripture since he was a child that caused him to be wise unto salvation, and that your son, Jesus Christ, paid the price for his sins, and you saved him through his faithful obedience to your desire for him to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And I'm so thankful for his salvation, his growth, for his desire to learn your word, and now his desire to preach your word. Thank you for bringing Karis into his life, and now giving them another generation that he can train for your glory. Thank you for this church and the privilege that Nathan and Karis have of serving here with the Byfords. I pray that you will use him in a mighty way to preach the word, to love the people, and to raise up his family such that he will be able to rejoice in what you do in the lives of the people of the church and in the people in his own home. God, bless him, protect him, strengthen him. And I pray, Father, that you will give him the wisdom from on high so that he can serve you faithfully until Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen to do your work in this world through selfless servants. We thank you that you call out men for ministry, that you burden hearts, you burden Nathan, that you've given him that calling, you've given him the qualifications that we are now confirming and affirming that he is a true man of God that can be used in the work of the ministry as a pastor. Lord, how we thank you that your Spirit can guide his life as he ministers here at Faith Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Lord, we do not pray glibly or lightly. We pray that your power would be evidenced in his life,
amen,
in his family, in his public preaching ministry, in his ministry here in this congregation, in this community. We know that without your power, none of us can do anything in your ministry.
Right.
So we are nothing but servants. And we thank you that He has exhibited such humble, gracious, kind demeanor, and yet fervency with the truth.
Amen.
So we pray that your blessing would be upon him, on Karis, on Ethan, their family, and their ministry.
Father, we give you great praise for who you are. We're thankful for your presence with us here in this place where two or three are gathered praying. You are in the midst. We need you. We need your help. We're praying for Nathan and Karis and their life and ministry, that you would put your fresh power into their life. You would help them to walk with you personally and daily. You would help the overflow of their walk with you to be able to be powerful in their ministry of the word and ministry in this church. We're thankful for their commitment to you. May it never wane. We pray for their sweet family. And we pray that you would use them in unusual ways for your glory and your glory alone. We thank you for this special day and this opportunity to just rally around them and just implore them and encourage them and pray for them. And we pray for this good church that you would continue to help these people to rally around both Pastor Pfeiffer and Pastor Nathan. You would do something great as a direct result of these faithful men's ministry.
Amen.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Pastor Nathan, dear Lord, and we ask you to just continue to be with him. Lord, continue to allow him the burden to study your word. Allow him to continue to the burden to preach your word, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask for your protection on him. If the devil is going to get to this church, they're going to start with Pastor Byford and Pastor Nathan, dear Lord. And I just pray that you protect him, put a hedge around him and his family, Heavenly Father. And just allow them to continue to serve you faithfully, dear Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Our Heavenly Father, it is a joy for us to know that you are so concerned about us and that you care for this church.
Yes.
Lord, you care for each individual in this church by bringing God-called men to this church. And I praise you that you have called Pastor Nathan into the ministry.
Amen.
And now, Lord, protect him, guide him, direct him, strengthen him. Give him the courage he needs and give him the compassion he needs. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do in his life. And Father, just be with him, be with his family, be with Karis, be with Ethan, be with the little girl that is going to be born. Help us, Lord, to love them as they love us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
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 Can we help you?
All right. All right. I'm not going to let you get away that easily. I wanted to present to Pastor Nathan a certificate of ordination. And it states, we, the undersigned, hereby certify that upon the recommendation of Faith Baptist Church, we had full and sufficient opportunity for judging his gifts, and after satisfactory examination by us in regard to his Christian experience, call to the ministry, in the view of the Bible doctrine, Nathan Herbster was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by the authority and order of Faith Baptist Church. And here are the signatures of all those who were on the ordaining. We thank the Lord. At this time, don't go away yet. At this time, my wife, if Karis would come up here, and we appreciate Karis. Boy, that is so true, Brother Matt. You know, God gave him a good wife. And she's a hard worker, and we appreciate. And my wife has something that she wants to give her. Okay. My wife, if she wanted to say anything, but she said she couldn't. She cried. And then Pastor Nathan, I asked him if he had a Ryrie Study Bible. And one of my favorite Bibles is the Ryrie Study Bible. And you can have this and know all my secrets. All right. And all my sermons and no. And I suppose I should turn to the page that has the presentation. This is presented to Pastor Nathan Herbster on the occasion of his ordination by Faith Baptist Church, Manhattan, Kansas, May 7th, 2023. This time, we're going to have a special by the trio. No, I'm not. This is the offering. We've got to take the offering. The trio's not coming yet. I'm sorry. We do want to take an offering for Pastor Nathan. And we want to give this offering to him so that he could use the money for books and resources that he would find helpful in the ministry. So we're going to give you an opportunity to give to him and out of appreciation to what he's done for us. Brother Patrick, would you pray, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Nathan, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just, again, we just ask that you continue to be with him. Lord, we ask that you be with this offering, Heavenly Father. Allow us to go to your work and your will. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mike, Mark, and Matt are going to come up and remind Pastor Nathan to be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty defender is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending. Victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice for the
time I was going to have Pastor Nathan, he wanted to say a few words before we end tonight.
Don't worry, we're not preaching another sermon or anything like that. Anything I could say would not do justice to the work people have put into this weekend, for the people that have invested in my life, for the way this church has shown your support of me. One of the reasons I wanted that song sung tonight is because that is exactly what Moses told Joshua as Joshua was rising into the ministry there with the children of Israel. And I was thinking about that passage, and you know, one thing that also really encouraged Joshua is that the children of Israel gathered around him and said, yes, we want to follow you as well. And thank you to my church family for your support of me in all of this. I'm really appreciative of all those that came out yesterday. I know Saturday, sitting for 3 hours, hearing big words and lengthy discussions about a lot of things that don't even come up in the pulpit is not always the most fun way to spend your Saturday. But thank you for the support, those of you that came out. And if you weren't there, that's perfectly okay as well. Thank you for your support that we've seen all the time as well. Thank you to the ladies that did so much yesterday for the food, and I don't even know who all was involved in that. I know some people, but if I start naming people, that won't go over well when I start forgetting people as well. Very thankful for my family. As you see, I have such a wonderful heritage in the Lord. And I always said growing up, to whom much has been given, much shall be required. And first of all, don't believe all the good things they say about me. I'm sitting there going, there's many times I didn't say the right thing. There's many times I was scared. There's many times that we've all messed up. And so that being said, please do keep both Pastor Byford and I in a lot of prayer. I hope you've been reminded, as much as I have, of the seriousness it is to be a pastor of a church and to be serving the Lord in ministry. And we all need prayer. And Pastor Byford and I pray for you all, but please keep us in prayer as well. I'm so thankful for the God we serve, and that's how we're strong. It's not be strong in your family. It's not be strong in your church. It's not be strong in your location. It's be strong in the Lord. And always remind me of that. If you ever see me discouraged, Nathan, be strong in the Lord. I always need that reminder. And so I'm so thankful I could go on and talk about the impact everyone's had in my life, my mom, my dad, my mom Tiffany as well. And the Lord's just been abundantly good. Please don't walk away going, man, Pastor Nathan is a great person. I know you won't do that because you've known me long enough. You know a lot of my weaknesses, and many of them you don't know. But no, I need a lot of prayer. And the Lord is good. He is faithful. And uphold both Pastor Byford in prayer that we would always be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and that we would put on the armor of God and stand against the devil here in this church. So thank you all. Thank you for those of you that traveled to be here, family members especially. The Lord has been magnified, and I pray that He'll continue to use this church for many years to come.
I do want to welcome Joe. Thank you for coming and came all the way from Olathe, and I think just to be at our church. I think that's the reason. So I'm glad that he is here. Joey will be praying for you through the summer as you go back to your home. And interesting story with Joey, and I know you want to hear another story. His dad was a member of our church many years ago. And so we're glad to have Joey here at the church. It's good to have each one of you. Now, we are going to have a pie fellowship right afterwards, and so you're all welcome to join us, and we are so grateful that you are able to be here, and thank you, Herbsters. So I can just say that in one word, and that covers all of them, and thank you, Matthews, for being a part of this, and let's stand together, and I'm going to ask Brother Chuck, if you would, to close us in prayer.
Dearly Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that this weekend has represented. Lord, we thank you for the faithful men of God. Lord, we thank you for the desire for Pastor Nathan to serve you. And so, Lord, as we continue to lift him up in prayer, Lord, we pray that you just put your hedge of protection around him, that you would give him your wisdom, Lord, and that you would help him to lead. May God guide this church, Father. Lord, we thank you for him and his sweet family. And we ask that you would just lift him up, keep him strong, allow us to be an encouragement to him and his family when they need it. And Father, we just thank you for the sweet blessing that they have been. And so, Father, we just lift him up before you. We ask that you would just put your arms around him. We ask that you would bless this ministry, Lord. And we thank you for those that have come out for this occasion. We ask that you would just give your traveling mercies to those that are returning back to the places that they came from. May you bless this food this evening, Lord, the sweet fellowship and the encouragement that has come from it. Well, thank you for that, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.